God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. He spoke. The Lord said, "Let there be light." Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ in his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to Disciples View. So heads up to the whole team, Randy and everybody. It's one of those days. The Lord just told me, that's what you're going to talk about. I didn't plan it this way. In fact, we could prove it to you. There's a show sheet. Little inside radio terminology, show sheet. What is that? Simply the topics we're going to cover today. It's not a teleprompter. We're not teleprompter people. It has links to audio and some little cues. They're called cues. So they're highlighted in yellow, these so that Randy can press a button, and as he flawlessly does during the program, fire the audio cues. A little radio speak for you. Fire the cue. Fire the clip, because the host read the cue. And just before I stepped over here to do this, the Lord said, that's what I need you to talk about. So we're going to talk about it. There is a movement in America of atheists creating a version of the Christian faith. It's a new way to have Christianity without Jesus Christ. And some of it is very, very cliche, you know, such as, well, let's go be good people, let's change the world, let's involve ourselves in things greater than ourselves. But they are directly attacking, and doing it in a smart way, they're directly attacking the character of God. And it's a pretty smart device. Now, as you listen to this, if you are a Bible-reading, Bible-believing, discipled Christian, some of this is going to be very, very obvious. You're going to be able to say, well, gosh, this is how I'd approach this, and you probably do it better than I will. If you're not yet there, then I think some of this is going to be surprising to you, particularly the full frontal assault on the character of God. Now, mind you, these are atheists. So here's the setup, and this is inspired by a movie I really enjoyed called American Gospel, and my wife and I watched it the other night. So here's the setup, that if you read the gospel to mean that God caused his son to be tortured and murdered, then God did it. Therefore, you're either going to worship a psychotic child abuser, or the gospel is not true. So choose one. So when this is presented to people who don't understand even, I was going to say the totality of, but even the beginning of the story of God and his pursuit of us or his nature, that's pretty compelling because it gives people an excuse to opt out. Because though we experience the joy of the Holy Spirit, we experience the joy of fellowship, we experience the joy of being able to look at ourselves, having become more like Christ, and to be grateful that, gosh, we no longer fall into these behaviors that were so negative in our life, that we don't harm people in the ways that came about when we were not discipled, that we have actually experienced Christian forms of love. This is a positive decision to act with loving and caring verbs towards people. We've actually experienced this to some degree. God's made us able to employ those things. We understand the joy, but we also understand that sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's hard. There are things we would want to do. Our flesh would want to do. And Satan stands there ready to say, well, do it. In the words of Eric Burden and the Animals, spill the wine, take the girl. Do it. Lose your temper. Cheat on your taxes. Do it. It'll feel good. You're not going to get caught. So Satan lurks in the background with this. These atheists, as they are presenting this conundrum to people, I mean, it's very clever. Look, are you going to worship a child abuser? A psychotic child abuser, or you could admit that none of this can be true. So here's the way the filmmakers approach this, and some great pastors like Colin Moore and other great teachers, is they describe God as, of course, pre-existent, always existing, the great I am, omnipotent, omniscient, all those things, but exists apart from his creation. So God created us because he decided to, but he exists apart from us. We do not exist apart from him at all. He keeps everything running. He keeps the planets in place. He keeps the supply of the common blessings of air and food and water. He keeps that all in place for us. Apart from him, we are nothing. Apart from us, he is still. He is still complete. He is still the great I am. He's still all these things. His nature led him to create us. His nature was not a God who sought solitude. After all, the Trinity pre-exists us. The Spirit, the Father, the Son, in existence with one another, always were, always have been, always will be. So they didn't even need us for company. God didn't need us for company. So God exists apart from us. His nature led us to create, led him to create us and give us freedom. That, I mean, the gift of freedom. The gift of freedom that we chose to take. Well, we chose to take, what he gave us was the gift of liberty, actually. Liberty. Freedom with limits. Life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. Life, he gave us life. He gave us liberty, that is freedom within limits, pursuit of happiness. He doesn't guarantee it to us. Okay, he guarantees if we will follow him and accept the Lord Jesus to sanctify us, to make us holy, but it doesn't necessarily mean that that's going to be happiness. It can be satisfaction. It can be moments of joy. So he gave us that gift of liberty rather than freedom. Freedom is the ability to do whatever you want to whomever you want for any reason whatsoever. Liberty is freedom with constraints. So God, because of his nature of who he is, decided to create us. He decided to give us then fellowship, that is, woman coming from man. He decided to walk with us. It is not good that man is alone. And he decided to say to us, you have this liberty, and here's the limit. You do not get to eat from that tree, which is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Other than that, you're living with me, you're walking with me, you have abundant food, you have no pain. I'm asking you to tend the garden. I'm telling you, this is your responsibility. You're going to tend the garden. These are your responsibilities. But even at that point, animals were non-carnivorous. They weren't eating each other. There was no bloodlust. That didn't exist. That's what he set up for us. So when the new atheists come along and they create this conundrum, they're describing this God who said, you know what, I could do it the other way. You know, I could forgive humanity. I could just, the same way I created the world, I could just blink my eye and say, yeah, you know what, I'll forgive all that. I don't need Jesus to go to the cross. That's what they say. That just the way he created the world, if you believe he created the world, this is their words. If you believe he created the world, he could have just said, you know what, I'm going to wipe off the debt. I'll just forgive that. That goes against his nature. He is truth. He is light. He is love. He is righteousness. He is forgiveness. He is all those things. You can have righteousness and forgiveness. You can have a God who can express anger and love you. We can express anger at those around us and still feel love for them and still act out the biblical forms of love as verb. We can do that, and we are tiny little specks in comparison to him. Now, see, we are not those things. He is those things. The same way that water cannot cease to be water, I mean, it can change form, but it's still water molecules. Hence with God. So when God laid out a law and said, these are the rules, and there's going to have to be sacrifices to pay for sin, you're going to have to sacrifice to me to pay for sin. You created a debt with me that's eventually going to have to be paid off, and here are the rules. When God said that, it became manifest. He is truth. He is light. He is justice. He is forgiveness. He is fact. He's all of that. It would go against his nature to say, ah, yeah, never mind. Yeah, I know I said that, but no. I'll just wipe that off the book. See, this is it would make him the equivalent of the people who run Joe Biden. We're forgiving student loan debt. No, you're not. You're making another pay it. Not by choice. Now, this is key. The Lord Jesus stepped forward and voluntarily said, I'll take this on. I'll take on the debt. I'll go pay it. God's only begotten Son. If God had done it any other way, it would have been like our government keeping our debts off the books, which they do. We have two sets of books. It's completely dishonest, and in a business setting, it would put you in prison. But they get to do that. So God cannot do this another way. Because he is truth, because he is light, because he is justice, because he is forgiveness, because he's all those things, all those qualities, that's what he is. He cannot change who he is. To say, never mind, the debt's too much, and I'll think of something else. I will change. I know I told you these things in the Old Testament. I know I said that, but never mind. He would be the worst possible parent. And we've all seen, and many of us have been guilty of being way too lenient with our kids. And we've all seen instances of, I was in an airport and this lady was, man, she was at the end of her rope. And her kids, her daughters, cute little kids, they were at the end of their rope. Everybody's doing the best they can. And she continued to say, if you don't do this, we're not getting on the plane. I'm looking at her going, ma'am, in all due respect, you're getting on that plane. Because you are at the end of your rope. You want to go home. Your mother's with you. She wants to go home. Those kids, that's an idle threat. And of course, the kids, mom, you're not going to take us out of the airport. She even went up and tried to get the guy at the ticket counter to tell the girls, if you don't behave, you can't get on the plane. And he wouldn't do that. Praise God. We actually did a thing where I did a happy dance for the girls. It was a funny thing. But he couldn't do that. But God doesn't make idle threats. He doesn't create laws to then go back and say, okay, never mind. I'm not doing that. I didn't really mean it. I can't really stop you from getting on the airplane. No, because it is his nature. So when the moment came that he always knew this would happen, I mean, he's preexistent to us and omniscient, omnipotent. When he sent his son to the cross, he was also sending himself. And this is where the atheists, they play this trick of, well, there's Jesus and then there's God. And yeah, that's true. And then there's the Trinity where they're one. And God signed up for pain. So Jesus went through the physical pain, the separation from God, the drinking of the cup of wrath. He did that voluntarily to fulfill the law. He is part of God. The law had to be fulfilled. It couldn't be canceled. It couldn't be a never mind. I don't want to do that anymore. And God himself went through one of the biggest forms of human pain, which is to lose a child. That's not the act of a psychotic child abuser. That's the act of a patient, loving God who is truth, who is light, who is justice, who is forgiveness, who is righteous anger. He's all these things. He had to sit there and watch his son being abused. They're trying to belittle the Lord Jesus, being tortured, dying. He also was apart from him for a bit. This is the part that the new atheists in trying to create this false, unbelievably clever approach to attacking God's character. We need to be very, very good at answering this. Better than I was. I hope you'll work on it. This is up to us. It's God's reputation, and he's jealous in defense of his reputation. We may well get to news. We might. We'll see where God leads us on this day where God just took that segment over. Thank you, Lord, for doing that. I'm Todd Herman. This is The Disciples View. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Last segment, I was attempting to respond, and God just said, I need you to address this. There was a show plan. And just as I sat down at the mic, God said, no, the reason I had you watch that movie is I wanted you to speak about the plan the atheists have to attack my character and to do this in a clever way. So we talked about that in the last segment. That's available, by the way, if you missed that, and I hope you listen to that, at afr.net. And your monthly support makes that possible, that you can go access these programs when you need them or you want to hear them or to do that again. And I'd kind of asked you to get good at attacking the atheists, confronting them on this claim that God is a psychotic child abuser because of the Lord's death, the Lord Jesus. And we addressed that last segment. So for people who heard that segment, I'm not going to go back through it, but you can go to afr.net and get it. We're going to go through news, but we're going to aim at something. You cannot change a world you resemble, right? You can't. You cannot change a world absent of the being who runs the world, and that's God. You, without him, he's the change. He's the one who will direct it. Now, he himself can't change, but he, in his power, and us allowing him to work through us, can change the world to become more like him, right? So we're going to aim at a destination, and as we go through these news stories, keep track of how many internal contradictions and lies there are, and then remember that we're to be in the world and not of it, because what we're aiming at are some things that are happening at one of the most storied evangelical institutions in the country, evangelical academic institutions. So news item one is the continuing decision of Mockingbird Media members to do nothing to regain their credibility at all. I'm reminded of a time I worked at a small ad agency. And all of a sudden in this ad agency, a sales team stopped selling a product line, and that's all they sold was this product line. And, oh, we're figuring something out and there's going to be some changes. So for a little while, we'll have the salespeople kind of do some other things. And then in the conference room, all of a sudden one day, the actual owners of the agency showed up. They were rarely there. There were managers, but the owners never came in. And then they were in the conference room with the managers. And then one day, all the financial people were in there with the managers. It was a glass conference room. Everybody knew. Everybody knew, okay, change is coming. But management kept telling us, no, it's all good. Nope, no changes. Nope, just figuring some things out. No, you're lying. Then one day, one of our chief competitors walked into the office. We all knew who he was. He owned a competitive agency that happened to be in that product line that they were clearly discontinuing. He went into the conference room and they had the meeting. And then they came out and said, hey, all staff meeting at 4:30 today on a Friday. Well, gosh, I wonder what they're going to tell us. And they came and said, we've made a decision today, and here's what we're doing. We're selling the agency. And there wasn't a surprise face in the room. We all knew something was coming. It was just a question of whether or not these salespeople would have jobs, and sadly, they didn't. They didn't get to go to the new company. He had his sales team. They were let go. That management team never regained their credibility, ever, because they lied. They could have said, yeah, we're looking at some changes. We might need to downsize. We don't know that we're going to continue this product line. They could have said all of that, but they did the fake happy, and everybody knew. So the Mockingbird Media cannot get out of their own way. They cannot get away from thinking if they keep just repeating the same message over and over again, everything's very, very normal. Joe Biden is mentally crisp. And if they keep doing that, somehow they're going to say it enough, loud enough that it's going to get people to believe them. It's like the ugly tourist thing where, like when I was in Mexico, I tried my little bit of Spanish and I enjoyed that. I enjoy speaking Spanish. I enjoy getting better at it. But it'd be an ugly thing for me to go down to Mexico and say, what do you mean you don't speak English? Or to say something in English louder. I said, where are the bathrooms, right? So as an example, this is MSNBC's Alex Wagner doing the job Democrat donors pay her to do.
I do have to ask, though, I mean, this is all thrown into sharp relief when the two men are on stage debating, right? And it already feels like, you know, the first presidential debate is set for June 27th. It already feels like the bar that is set for Biden to clear is so much substantially higher than the one Trump has to clear, which is literally, is he alive? Is he standing? Are the words coming out of his mouth? Setting aside what the words actually are. And I wonder if there's any way for Biden to overcome what seems like a structural disadvantage on, you know, in the weeks leading up to what's going to be a pretty important inflection point in this campaign.
So the expectations in MSNBC Lieland are that Joe Biden is so good, so mentally crisp, so on top of it, that he is burdened by high expectations he shouldn't have to face the poor man. Does anyone believe that? I mean, you probably saw this latest malfunction in Joe Biden where, honestly, I was afraid that he was having a stroke. I'm not trying to be cruel. I'm saying I was afraid he was having a stroke.
Secretary of Homeland Security.
I mean, and his facial expressions, everything was brain disconnect. It's not funny. And in fact, if you're in the midst of a crisis and the civilian commander in chief is being asked, sir, do we launch the missiles? It's not helpful. And MSNBC is saying, yeah, that's the expectation. See, they cannot stop the repetition of lie because they have become the lie. In the last segment, we talked about how God is truth. He is light. He is justice. He is forgiveness. He is righteous anger. Righteous anger. He's all these things. He can't change. So the new atheists are saying, oh, God's a child abuser because he punished the Lord Jesus. He could have done it another way. No, he couldn't have. Because God said, this is the law. The law must be fulfilled. Therefore, it must be fulfilled because he is truth and justice. In the case of MSNBC, they are the lie. I don't think they can speak truth there anymore. Another example here. Now, this sheriff, his name is Sheriff Gaylor, Hartford Sheriff. He's speaking some core truths. And in this world, though, these core truths run counter to that precious, precious narrative that comes from the lie factories of MSNBC. And in this clip, Hartford Sheriff Gaylor has a message for figurehead Biden and his bosses.
We are 1,800 miles away here in Harford County. We are 1,800 miles away from the southern border, and the American citizens are not safe because of failed immigration policies. This is the second time in just 2 years that an innocent Harford County woman has lost her life to a criminal in our country illegally. Let me repeat that. 1,800 miles from the southern border, and this is the second woman in our county to be killed by an illegal alien. Suspects, in both cases, they are suspects from El Salvador with ties to criminal gangs. Should not be happening. Victor Hernandez did not come here to make a better life for himself or for his family. He came here to escape the crime he committed in El Salvador. He came here and murdered Rachel, and God willing, no one else.
The woman's name was Rachel Marin. She had dreams. She was a dreamer. Most people have dreams. We're dreamers. So the core truth he's speaking is that the open border decision, driven by grievous greed, hubris, seeking of power to destroy the law of the United States by seizing seats in Congress that do not belong to these states. There are 23 seats that have been stolen. Stolen using illegal immigration, they are illegitimate congressional seats because they exist because of the bodily presence of illegal immigrants. They're illegitimate seats. That is an insurrection. Nonviolent in Congress, but not nonviolent in the world. MSNBC and others would tell you, oh, there's this thing called the Great Replacement Theory, and it's a theory and it's racist. No, it's not a theory. It's being applied. And it's not racist to say, hey, we should have an idea as who's coming into the building. Did I say building? Sure. Because MSNBC in 30 Rock, I'm telling you, I've been there, you don't get in without an ID, without them knowing who you are. Go take a tour of the White House, but make sure that you register 6 months in advance so they can do a background check on you. It's all so easy to look at. And the immigration system, the people who, not everybody, but Mayorkas and the people at the top, they have become the lie. Now, with God, all things are possible. With God, this could all be reversed. They could seek his repentance, and they could repent to him, seek his forgiveness. They could get that. That's all possible. But right now, they've become the lie. So the comparison is God is truth. He is light. He is the life. He is the way. He is justice. He's forgiveness. He's righteous anger. He can't change his being. Human beings can become changed by the world. We're not to do that. We're to be in the world and not of it. I hope you see the through line. The same people who told us that the vaccines, so-called, were safe and effective, the same people who said, there's no, what are you talking about? Critical race theory isn't taught in schools. They're the same people who later said, of course, critical race theory has been taught in schools. It's always been taught in schools. Those same people said, our election, that last one, was the safest, most secure election in history. The same people. Same people who said Donald Trump is a Russian plant, the Hunter Biden laptop story is a Russian plant, said that the election is the safest, most secure election in history. All right. In this clip, a woman is stunned to learn people have been voting in her name.
Because the first election I voted in was Trump's. I've never voted in a midterm. I've never voted.
What?
I have never voted in a midterm election. Ever.
All right.
Say that. I've never voted in a primary. Ever.
Tell us that again.
Oh my gosh.
All right, so what we see here is someone voted in your name for a midterm primary, and then we've got 1, 2, 3 presidential elections. You're saying you did not vote.
She's sitting there looking at a screen, recording her votes that counted that she had never made. The system has become a lie. We're the safest, most secure election. That was the safest, most secure election in history. Do you know who voted? Well, no. Did you check everybody's ID? No. Their signatures? No. Not really. We sampled some. Did you accept ballots after the election closed? Sure. Did you let people call, drive up to drop boxes and drop off a couple hundred ballots at a time and not ask where they came from? Yeah. Do you have any measurement, any standard of measurement that would allow you to investigate vote fraud? No, not really. See, the system has become the lie. God is truth. He is light. He cannot lie. The system has become the lie. What does that mean? How can light and darkness have partnership? How can truth and lies have partnership? We cannot worship this system anymore. And some people do. We cannot expect non-Christians to run the system in a Christian sense. We can expect justice because it will happen because God said it already has. We do not rely on horses and chariots. In other words, we rely on the word of God, which is why it's so disconcerting now. And this is where we make the turn from politics back into faith. That is why it's so disturbing to see the evangelical seminary, the Fullerton Evangelical Seminary, toying with the idea of Fuller Theological Seminary, toying with the idea of allowing same-sex attracted couples to live on their campus. So the people at the stream.org and their writer Jules Combs got a hold of a document, Revised Community Standards for Sexual Standards for Students and Learners. And if it's passed, it would change the whole complex of the campus. They write, while the seminary embraces this historical Christian understanding of sexual intimacy and marriage, we acknowledge there are faithful and thoughtful Christians and churches that have different interpretations. Therefore, we expect all members of this global evangelical ecumenical seminary student and learner community to live with the integrity consistent to the Christian communities to which they belong. The atheists we talked about in the first segment are setting up Christian churches with Christ removed, utterly removed, with God the Father referred to as a either psychotic child abuser or a being that doesn't exist. They're Christian. You have Christian churches who teach that Jesus was transgender, so-called transgender. How? The wound in his side. I'll let you read into the rest of that. It wasn't just a wound. It was an organ. It's horrific. It's vandalism of who Jesus is. But they're Christian. I pray that this does not happen at the Fuller Theological Seminary, that they do not decide to become the world. Because when you become the world, you are steps away from becoming the lie. If you have contacts at Fullerton, please, please beg them. Stay with the Word of God. We'll come back with the Tower Babbling. I'm Todd Herman. This is A Disciple's View. To Disciples View, I'm Todd Herman. It's a fun day for me. I love it when God just scraps the show, if you think it was planned. I don't know how fun it is for Randy because, you know, he spends a lot of time getting the show ready, etc. But we visited about this. I think we both enjoy when God intervenes and says, hey, Herman, how about if you do what I want you to do? Love that. I always try to have God at the center of the show. Sometimes he just sweeps in. He did that today. We've traveled a long way, I feel like. Started with a response in the first hour to this new attack these very clever atheists are using against the Christian faith. And they're saying to people that, hey, look, if God had his son killed in that way, then he's a psychotic child murderer or the gospel's not true. And we approached that in the first segment. You can go get that at AFR.net. Your monthly support makes it possible for you to have access to the shows that way. So you can go listen to that. I hope we did a good job of countering that. Then we talked about the fact that God being truth and light and righteousness and forgiveness and righteous anger, he has a character that cannot change, all good character that cannot change. So consequently, the law needed to be fulfilled. Otherwise, God would be a liar. He cannot lie. When he says these are the rules, they have to be carried out. The opposite of that is increasingly evident in our systems that have become the lie. They can no longer tell truth because so long have they lied, they've actually become the thing they've been telling. You are what you eat. You are what you think, evidenced through what you do. And in that case, then what partnership can lie have with truth? Then we talked about the Fullerton Theological Seminary, which is apparently flirting with departing the Word of God in what God teaches about human sexuality and marriage, because they're going to let people come to their campus and live according to their, quote, Christian churches. So allowing same-sex couples who are in what they would call a marriage to be on campus, which would just mean that at that point, you're just becoming like the world. You are going to become the lie if you depart truth. And not that you're going to lie, you'll become the lie. And wow, finding your way back to God then, I mean, through God, all things are possible, but wow, that's a real hole you're digging yourself. Before we get to the Tower of Babbling, just another indicator of this. And I always feel bad because I imagine there are people who are members of the Southern Baptist Convention who listen to this. And if so, I don't mean to jump in and judge your personal faith. I'm deeply concerned about the Southern Baptist Convention with their decision to force people to pretend that God did not create man and woman, and the pronoun things. And I understand that people think that's compassion. I just don't think it's compassionate to lie, particularly to confuse people. But the Southern Baptist Convention has been debating something. A guy named Andrew Brown wanted the Nicene Creed confirmed at the Southern Baptist Convention.
Good morning, Mr. President. My name is Andy Brown. I'm a messenger of First Baptist Church of Starkville, Mississippi. I move that the messengers of this annual meeting of the Southern Baptist Convention affirm the Nicene Creed. The Creed states, "We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all ages. God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father. By him all things were made, for us and for our salvation. He descended from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man. He was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. He shall come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom shall have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, and who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified. He spoke through the prophets, and in one holy, universal, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and we look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen."
I find it beautiful, and it is being debated. Now, people can reasonably disagree on words and phrases, and yep, the Southern Baptist Convention is debating whether to affirm the Nicene Creed.
I'm a little careful, a little skittish about too much ecumenism, and I think the Nicene Creed, while generally is a very good creed and has certainly been accepted by many traditions, there are still a couple of issues of wording in that creed that could be interpreted to foment or to produce doctrines or concepts of doctrines that we as Baptists would reject.
I'm just forced. I am forced to say to that gentleman, but your church pretends that men are women. So you're debating the Nicene Creed because there's some phrases in it that could cause division, dissent. You are pretending men are women. And with all due respect, you are pretending the Bible accepts other than marriage between one man and one woman as marriage. It's breathtaking. Satan doesn't just at this point cause people to lie. He causes people and organizations to become the lie. And that's disturbing, because how do you find your way back from that? I mean, only through the power of God, right? Only through the power of God. One thing as well, before we get to the Tower of Babbling, I can't let this go by without mentioning it. Representative Clay Higgins wrote on Twitter, or someone wrote for him. I think this is Clay writing. "I will not support one dime of funding for the ATF until constitutional policy is fully restored. Please wake up, America. We the people are living in a police state. These federal agencies, DOJ, FBI, ATF, are way out of control." And he's talking here about a guy who helped run the Little Rock Airport. His name was Brian Malinowski. He was shot in the head. Federal agents served a warrant at his Arkansas home. They came to the house. They rolled heavy. That means heavily armed. They knocked, and 28 seconds later, they kicked the door, and they blasted the door open. And he, concerned for his family, retrieved his firearm, went downstairs, just awake, 28 seconds awake, defending his family. They shot him and killed him. And I'll tell you what for in here in just a second. Clay Higgins continues. "This American had a perfect record. He was squared away for his whole life. ATF had warrants for alleged regulatory paperwork violations. Easy stuff they could have handled 100% peacefully. Instead, they hit his home heavy in a hard pre-dawn like he was MS-13. So the man wakes up, freaks out, in those wild seconds begins to defend his family from the violent home invasion, and he promptly gets shot in the head. Unbelievable and abhorrent it is. They simply could have walked into his office and said, hey, Brian, about this paperwork. They chose not to. Now, I'm sure this has nothing to do with it, but apparently he was a Trump supporter. Probably has nothing to do with it. May God help his family. May God forgive the agents who did that to him. May God have mercy on America. On this program, as hard as it is sometimes, we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature called The Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
And there's a lot of other... For example, the idea that we're, in terms of taxes, that they refuse to... For example, I was able to balance the budget and pass everything from the global warming bill. Anyway.
The Tower of Babbling.
Yes, anyway. Three sound bites in today's Tower of Babbling, but this time featuring one guy. Brian Stelter, who got fired from CNN, had a show called Reliable Sources. He is all the Tower of Babbling today because it's perfect for the theme of this segment. Clip number one, Brian Stelter would like you to believe that conservative media is solely responsible for manufacturing stories like a serialized TV drama.
So let's take a look at how a storyline is manufactured. In this case, a loudly anti-Biden storyline, redounding to Trump's benefit. First, it helps to really view this as storytelling, not so much as news coverage, but as political entertainment. Fox News, the beating red heart of the right-wing media machine, molds reality into a serialized TV drama.
Okay. Remember that he worked at CNN, where the drama was Orange Man Bad is literally working for Vladimir Putin at this very moment in time, right? Clip number two. Brian Stelter equates the Hunter Biden laptop story to a season of a TV show.
As political entertainment goes, this is not a brand new TV show. It's just a new season of the show. Hunter Biden's business dealings in Ukraine were a key part of the plot last season in the impeachment of President Trump. Hunter has already apologized. Well, he's already admitted to poor judgment and swampy behavior. His father has said that it will not happen again. And at this point, most people have moved on. But Trump needs a closing argument.
So most people moved on from a drama that conservative media constructed. But who hasn't moved on? The people who paid the Biden family to do things for them. You think they've moved on? We've just learned of another $120 million deal that a family that produces no product, provides no apparent service got through Ukraine at the same time as NATO has announced that our sons and daughters are going to be put on the Russian front, as it were. Okay, last clip in today's Tower Babbling featuring again Brian Stelter. Brian Stelter concludes by saying, we don't know if the email story is real, but it is a classic example of the right-wing media machine.
For all we know, these emails are made up, or maybe some are real and others are fakes. We don't know. But we do know that this is a classic example of the right-wing media machine. A tip from Bannon and a hard drive dump from Rudy led a former producer for Sean Hannity's show to write a story for the New York Post that gets splashed on the front page that Rudy then used to trash the Bidens all over Fox, and they're doing it almost every hour of the day, and Trump has been hyping the drama for days on end, and this is how it goes on and on. Now let's.
This is how it goes on and on. What do we know? The laptop was very much real. Everybody knew it. The FBI had it in its possession for years. Everybody knew that. Everybody knew it wasn't Russian disinformation. And Brian Stelter and his team at Reliable Sources treated it like, well, at the risk of being sacrilegious, gospel. That's how they decided to treat it. That's why he was featured today in all three spots in this episode of The Tower Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
Well, I'm sick and tired of smart guys.
On A Disciple's View.
I love that. You know, there is a funny way to respond sometimes when people wrong you. And this girl posted her mission call on TikTok and got utterly hate-filled responses. And here's how she replied with her guitar.
Call me evil, 'cause I believe in Jesus. But all the death threats are only from the sweetness of your heart. You're just doing your part. Ugh, what an angel you are. Well, I'm sorry if you're insecure and feel slightly insane, but I'm not to blame for all the things you can't explain.
That's really a beautiful way to do it. The other day I was leaving for work from home, and we have to cross over some lanes of a pretty busy highway. Highway 53 in Idaho. And this guy was really super stressed, and he felt like my truck, which is taller than his car, was blocking him from seeing oncoming traffic. And he rolled down his window and screamed at me, "Come on!" And for a second, I've reminded you I'm 79.7% genetically redneck. For about a second, I wanted to go, "Come on. Oh, let me put the truck in park. Come on. Why don't you bring it?" And the Holy Spirit spoke, and I rolled down the window, and I said, "Jesus loves you so much. He really does. I'm sorry." And he started with some sort of rude retort. I saw him. His face got red. He couldn't bring himself to say anything, but he rolled the window up. I've said that on a few occasions where people have been involved in road raging me. I only say it when I mean it, when the Spirit intervenes. But man, I wonder if we can practice allowing the Holy Spirit to intervene more often. I think we can. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak. Because He first loved us, we speak His Word. We walk in the path of Jesus Christ to make disciples of all nations. Until God decides, we can all speak again together. May the peace of the Lord that passes all understanding rest upon you and your families. On behalf of AFR and Randy, I'm Todd Herman. This has been A Disciple's View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.